This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I haven't heard a lot of news about the Carolina Hurricanes today. Yesterday, things were flying.
Yeah.
Like, all you had to do was just keep Twitter open, and it was like, Canes doing this. Canes about to do this. Canes might do this. I'm hearing this is what the Canes are doing. Then you get it confirmed. Then you get some confirmation. Then you get a grade on it, be an A+, and you get an email that it's official from the Canes. Then you get a link to watch the interview on Zoom. And in fact, right now, I believe Max Pacioretty is meeting with the media.
That's right.
We could do the super lazy July sports radio thing and just turn on the Max Pacioretty Zoom feed. But instead, we'll maybe save for tomorrow some of the best comments for you, just bring it to you during the show.
You know, we haven't heard anything. You know why? Because Twitter was down.
Well, so that's what I was going to get to. Yeah. So not a lot of news flying today. I missed this. This proves that I am not the Twitterer that I used to be. I used to know when Twitter was down, right? Because I'm on there all the time.
Because you broke it.
And so, no, you would just be very aware, like, whoa, is Twitter not working? There's always the initial, whoa, what's wrong with my phone, right? Mm-hmm. That should be like the four stages of Twitter going down. It's like, whoa, what's wrong with my cell cut? What's wrong with the internet? Then it's like, wait a minute, no, my other apps are working. Then it's, whoa, what's wrong with my phone? Then it's like, whoa, no, what's wrong with Twitter? And somehow, the biggest irony is, oftentimes the place you go to figure out what's going on. I remember when an earthquake happened in Sparta, North Carolina, and I happened to be in Todd, North Carolina, not very far away up there in Ashe County. Shout out Ashe County. And there was a weird rumbling and shaking, like that didn't seem menacing, but did seem out of the ordinary. And I was like, what just happened? You jump on Twitter and you're like, what happened? And on Twitter, you see people saying, was that an earthquake? And then you see somebody retweeting something like, yes, it was an earthquake. And then, you know, oh. But when Twitter goes down, the place you go to find out about it is on Twitter. Yeah. But it's not working. So how do you ever know that Twitter is down? You can't. So when was Twitter down and how long did it stay down for?
It was down this morning for, a few hours, I think. But gotcha. even still when it was quote-unquote back.
Wasn't fully back.
I was trying to post a video that I made about Twitter being down on Twitter, and it wouldn't post.
Very meta of, well, I guess not meta because it was Twitter. You can't even use meta now because they made the company name Meta, and now we can't use the term meta without people thinking that we're talking about the company Meta. Because I was going to say that's very meta of you, but you know what I mean. Twitter back up. Is there any news about the Canes today?
No, none.
Other than Zach Sochenka.
Yeah, other than that, but even like the Frank Saravalli and Pierre LeBrun, you know, the Woj and Shams of the NHL world, barely tweeted out anything today. Nothing. So I was like, no one is signed anywhere.
Maybe they get their sources from Twitter, and now they can't get theirs. Since we don't have a lot of new Hurricanes news happening, let's go to the Wall of Sound and hear about the old Hurricanes news. You know, the 24 hours old Hurricanes news. Let's go to the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
I think a lot of them are in Canada, so maybe it's a Canadian Twitter issue.
Ah. All due respect to Max Pacioretty, whose name I'm getting better and better at saying.
Hey, you did a good job that time.
The biggest addition to the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday, after a flurries of move, was probably former Norris Trophy winner and potential future Hall of Famer Brent Burns, and apparently really big dude with a large beard.
Massive beard.
And he zoomed in from where, I don't know where he was.
He was
Montana?
Texas?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because he had some big horns on the wall. Like, he had what looked to be, I mean, basically if you looked at him and be like, I wonder what kind of house that guy would live in, it's the exact house you thought it would.
Yeah.
Like, large animal horns on the walls of things that he probably killed with his bare hands.
Big deer head.
Big deer. Like, again, these are things that he ran down, then captured with his own hands, wrestled the life out of them, and then didn't carve, just ripped the horns off of the deer and jabbed them into his wall such that they stuck.
He didn't lose his teeth playing hockey.
Yes.
Fought a bear, probably.
So, Brent Burns was the... Let's start with what Don Waddell said about Brent Burns. First of all, He said that Brent Burns was excited to come to Carolina.
Roddy and I called him just a little while ago, and the excitement that he has just over the phone, it gets you really, you know, excited, because he does bring a lot of energy. He's a very upbeat guy. You talk to all the players that have played with him, and that very well respected. As you said, he's been a leader on his team for many, many years, and a guy that everybody looks up to. But, you know, I think his personality, he's a good guy that loves to play hockey and enjoys it. And, you know, I think we're going to find him to be a real good fit here for us.
Was San Jose any good last year?
No.
Okay. So you can imagine that a guy is making the same money and went from a bad team to a good team. Yeah, Max Domi would talk about this. Like, Max Domi seemed like the happiest dude, even in his exit interviews from the Canes, where he's like, probably not going to get re-signed. But you know what was cool? When I was on that really crappy team, and then when I woke up one morning, they're like, hey, you're on the really good team now. He's like, this is awesome. Yeah. There's probably some of that for Brent, who believes that, you know, regardless of whether the Canes are going to be the number one team or the number five team or the number eight team in the NHL next year, he's probably going to the playoffs with the Canes, would be his guess.
And Burns actually had to approve the trade because his contract stipulation, they asked, hey, we have a deal set with Carolina. He's like, yeah, I'll go play there.
One thing, I was making the comparison to the New England Patriots earlier, and it's one of the things that they created for themselves. Once you start to seem to be smart, then you become a place that people want to play. Free agents want to come there for the most part. I think the Hurricanes, one thing that they've also done a good job of is get a feel on whether or not a person wants to be there. Do not try and convince somebody that they don't want to be there. Don't try and convince somebody who thinks they don't want to play in Carolina that it's the place they want to play, right? Brent Burns is obviously smart enough to see a smart system, a place that players like to play, a squad that players like to play for, a coach that players like to play for, a team that's had success, a team that's likely going to have success, right? Who was it? Adam Fox a couple years ago that didn't want to play for the Canes. And I don't know all the circumstances. I'm not judging anybody. Like, we all got our own list of priorities of why we're going to play at a place, right? But he didn't want to play there, and the Hurricanes didn't waste time or beat around the bush. He'd be like, no, we'll sell you on it. It was like, nope, you want to play here? Move on, right? Seek the guys that are excited about playing for you, and I think that the relationships are more likely to work out. Maybe just as important as Burns being excited to join the Carolina Hurricanes is that the Carolina Hurricanes players were excited about the addition of Brent Burns, so says Don Waddell.
I think today we made our team better for sure, and by the time we get through, I there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, a couple of things make us better. Is I think some of the players that we're adding currently, but also the experience that that our young players have received especially the last couple year playoff run. You know, best way to get experience in the playoffs is play as many games as you can. So I think we've taken those steps. So I think, you know, when you add guys like Brent Burns, I think it's a huge addition to your team. I think since it's been announced, 8 or 9 of our players, current players, have already texted me saying, wow, they can't believe we got this guy. So that's always a positive sign.
That's the coolest thing that I heard out of Don Waddell, was 8 or 9 dudes with the Carolina Hurricanes who are, you know, who knows what they're doing right now. As soon as they heard that Brent Burns was coming to the Canes, they hit up the GM and were like, heck yeah, that's cool. That's a good sign for me. But, of course, let's hear from the man himself. Brent Burns, as you mentioned, it was a trade, but it was something that he had a say in. And as far as his vote, it was easy to say yes and green light a move to Raleigh.
You know, I just think it fits our family really well. I think we love the outdoors. We love a little bit quieter, a little bit open space. So I think there was no issue there. That the team, there was no issue with that. I mean, that's a great team that's competing for a championship every year. And, you know, just from playing against those guys and, you know, having Rod there, I think, you know, I've heard nothing but unbelievable things about him and the way he goes about his business. And, I just think it was a very easy fit for us. I think as hard as the decision was for us to leave San Jose and try something new, which it was. I mean, that's not it's not an easy thing to do when you're in a place for so long and have nothing but great things to say about it. It's been really nice. I think even today, just having this extra excitement and extra energy, I can feel it already. You know, it's something really special to come and be a part of, and can't wait to meet the guys.
Burns wants to hunt. He's coming to the right place.
Yeah.
I know some spots down in Duplin County where he'll be able to pick off a few bucks.
I was like, is he living down in Garner, or is he going all the way to Johnston County?
I mean, he might just straight up set up camp in Joco. But nah, Burns, he should adjust to Raleigh. He even name checked where he wants to play. He's excited about playing PNC. Or did he say PNC? Regardless, he's excited about it.
You know, it's always a place that when you play there, it's crazy. I was always a guy that would ride to the games early, and there's people out there tailgating. I think it's just such a special place, and loud building. I mean, there is a lot of similarities in that with San Jose. People don't realize how great of a hockey town it is. And yeah, I'm excited.
We're excited to have Brent Burns.
Yeah.
We'll see what Max Pacioretty says. He's talking to the media right now. We probably won't bring you that audio today. We'll get it to you tomorrow on the Adam Gold Show. And finally, on the Wall of Sound, audio that basically is only good today, and that's why we got to use it. Shout out to the one and only John? Why couldn't I remember? Oh, you know why? Because his name is similar to Jeremy Markovich, who does the North Carolina Rabbit Hole. And I'm like, it's not Jeremy Malkovich. John Malkovich from Con Air, the movie that should be playing somewhere on cable all day today. There should be a Con Air marathon for this.
My daddy is coming home on July 14th. My birthday is July 14th. I'm going to see my daddy for the first time ever on July 14th.
There's something great about Con Air. Face Off has a little bit of this too, and they were like kind of similar eras, right?
Yeah. Mid-ish 90s.
Of just, but there's something that Malkovich puts it over the top, because Cage and even Travolta, I'm not saying that they're not serious actors, but like, they were just doing themselves, right? But like, to bring John Malkovich in, who's got all these like, you know, acting pedigree, but to play the crazy dude in Con Air, I don't know. That there's something about that movie where like it embodies, it's not Sharknado,
yeah,
so bad it's good, right? But there is an element of like, what am I watching? Mm-hmm. You know, like what is this? And it just harkened back to also when like summer blockbusters, before we had Marvel movies, there were just a crop of summer blockbusters that were marketed like Marvel movies, which is like, this is a movie that you are going to see.
Yeah.
We're going to put some names in it. We're going to have a trailer with some crazy explosion or something that you're like, well, I got to go see that, I guess. And we're all just going to go, regardless of whether it's good or not, we're just going to hand over our money and take, you know, a 2-hour break from the 95 degree heat and go sit in air conditioning and watch these movies. And that's what 80s felt like they were making great summer blockbusters. Late 90s felt like they still expected the money from summer blockbusters, but they didn't care if they were good or not. They just had to be something that fit the bill of the summer blockbuster. And that's what Con Air felt like. Even though Con Air may be 2000s. I can't remember.
That was 90s.
It's either late 90s or early 2000s. That's kind of a...
97.
There we go. 97.
Yeah, great cast, though. Nicolas Cage, John Malkovich. I think Danny Trejo's in it.
Okay.
Ving Rhames, John Cusack.
Yeah, Cusack. I mean, again, just... I don't know how to explain. All of those guys would have just been like, turn them into Avengers. Like, oh, well, Malkovich could have been like a bad guy. Like, yeah, Malkovich could have been Loki or whatever. You know, like you can put them all in there. Cusack would have been whoever
Iron
Paul
Man.
Rudd. No. Cusack would have been Paul Rudd.
Ant-Man.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, and then there would have, I'm trying to think who, Nick Cage definitely would have been an Avenger. I don't know. Probably. Maybe it would have been an Iron Man or whatever. Mm. But like, we weren't making Avenger movies, but we were trying most of the same elements of like big stars, put them in familiar looking roles. We needed a couple big time explosion fight scenes. We need a, you know, at least a story to bring it together. Somebody's comic relief, you know, the purple bunny that's in there that keeps like popping back up. That's what these were. These were Marvel movies before we actually had a Marvel universe to plug these pieces into. Con Air. Good stuff.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
I do know that this is, or I'm pretty sure, this is David Bowie. But I have not yet grasped the theme of today's songs, if there is one. Is there a theme?
Not really.
Okay. So I don't feel bad.
No. Well, I did, like, last hour I did stuff from Clerks.
Yes.
And then this, I decided to do Moon Age Daydream,
okay,
based off of the topic you're about to discuss.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Good tie in there. Sometimes you've got a whole collective theme for all the songs that I didn't know if there was something.
I've kind of broken it down by hour.
Okay. Gotcha. Excellent. One of the big pieces of news this week that everyone's talking about and now turning into memes online are the pictures coming from the James Webb Space Telescope. Now, I'm not asking you this for any loaded answer or to try and set up my next bit on radio. I truly ask your opinion, so I hope you will give me your honest opinion. What was your reaction when you saw these pictures, Dennis Cox?
I haven't really looked at them.
Okay, that's fair. And I've heard some interviews with people who, like, work in space their whole life or work on this project. Like, 20 years ago, they began building this telescope, and this is the first sort of fruits of their labor to come back. So those people totally get their excitement, right? They are fully invested in the project. There are other people who I'm less sure if their excitement is as genuine or sincere. Basically, we're getting these pictures. The first one we saw was like, think of an all black square picture and then just light, lots of little pieces of light, different color, some like bright or whatever, but you know, all different all over the screen. That was the first one we got, and people were like, this is amazing! Look at these pictures that we're getting from the James Webb Telescope. I've never seen anything like this. This is unbelievable. I think my favorite meme I've seen from that one is the person who, and again, the memes, you knew they were going to be good. They are indeed good. Again, it looks like just a black square and then some pictures, pieces of light, all very colorful in it. If we're blown up and put over the couch in your living room, it might look like a cool piece of art. The best meme I've seen is somebody who, you know, when you do a picture on a graphic and you're trying to simple, like a map, for example, if you're trying to say, all right, this map is representing this area, and it's you make it a little bit bigger than it is. I'm not describing this well for radio, nor am I using my hands well to do it for video. But basically, there's a picture of a kitchen counter and then a graphic trying to show you as if they had cut a square out of said kitchen counter and held it up to you so you could see what's on the counter. Basically saying that first picture that was sent back from the James Webb Telescope and released looks like it could easily be just the design on my marble kitchen countertop, right? And that's kind of the point I'm going with this. Now, we have gotten some other ones, and I've read of what they mean. These are the cliffs of the, you know, something Earth, and they've got names, the Kantia, whatever, 35. And some of them show like some history. We can apparently see now some evolution of some of our universe. And we're seeing things that are like difficult to grasp how far away it is, you know, and how big. And it's not even like distance away. It's time away from us, right? So there's all this stuff locked up into how we as simple humans who 200 years ago, do I have that right? 200, When did we invent electricity? Or when did we discover electricity?
Yeah, we invented it, yes.
When did we discover? You know, 200 years ago, we couldn't even, like, turn on the lights. 100 years ago, we could barely fly.
What, 250 years ago?
Now, we can, you know, discover all these universes and see how vast it is and literally, like, see it in its form. But I feel like some people are lying when they say how impressed they are by this. And it's for this reason partly, right? The word awesome, like, I overuse it. Like, oh, man, that's awesome. That's great. Awesome truly means, like, awe-inspiring, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think of, like, the concept of things of, like, the universe or God and its actuality, like not any religion, or if you don't believe in God, the absence of God, pick whatever. I'm not trying to make this religious. I'm just saying, trying to think. When you try and think of how was life created or what happens after our natural bodies die, what is, you know, what is the whole world mean? It is truly too great for my small, feeble human mind to comprehend, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I can think about it. I can read things. I can read philosophy. I can choose a religion to read, see what they take about it if they want. But that's kind of how I feel about these pictures from the James Webb Space Telescope. Is I'm not blown away by these pictures because I don't have any concept of what the universe should look like or any, like, I know this sounds stupid, but, you know, like, when if you find a snake outside or a bug and you're trying to send a picture to your friend, you might put your shoe beside it and be like, oh, my God, look at this bug that's larger than my shoe. So then there's context of, like, oh, man, I see how big that thing is. It's bigger than your shoe. Or you lay down, you know, something next to the snake that gives context to how long the snake actually is, right?
Yeah.
So I'm seeing these pictures of the vast mass of stars in the universe, but I can't fully grasp of how. I get that you can explain to me, like, well, our planet is just one little speck in the solar system, and that solar system is one speck in this galaxy, and that, and these are all these different galaxies. Like, mm-hmm. I can hear that, and my brain can process it. But ultimately, I think the reason that these pictures don't blow me away is truly because they are beyond my level of comprehension. It'd be like if somebody said, hey, do you want to see the face of God? And they showed you a picture, and it was, you know, whatever God looks like. But I wouldn't be blown away because I wouldn't have any concept of what the face of God is actually supposed to look like. I'd be like, oh, well, that's just, you know. Now, if you showed me a picture of, a person that was 9 feet tall, well, I've seen millions of people in my lifetime. And the tallest ones I've seen max out at 7.5 feet. And even that is, like, impressive to see. I've seen Sean Bradley in person. You're like, wow, that's crazy. So if you showed me a picture, if I saw in with my own eyes, a 9 foot tall person, I'd be like, whoa, that would blow me away because I have context for what a actual human shape should be. Even so with some animals that I've never seen in person, but I've known to exist long enough that if I saw a giraffe that was, you know, as tall as a 30-story building, I'd be like, whoa, I can understand. That is impressive.
Tall as Sean Bradley.
Or if you see a storm or, you know, something that mm-hmm. wreaks havoc, a hurricane that is blowing trees over, like, you have concept for, like, I've seen a windy day. Now I'm seeing wind that is literally knocking over trees.
When I briefly lived in Wisconsin,
yep.
right on Lake Michigan. First day I was there on Lake Michigan, two water chutes. I've never seen, like, a tornado or a water chute in my life. I have been in that state as a resident for 12 hours.
And all of a sudden, the ocean is being sucked up, or the lake in this case.
Yes, Lake Michigan.
It's being sucked up to the heavens. Like,
yeah,
yes.
I'm like, what is this?
Yes. And so, yes, because you've experienced weather and seen wind and water, like, mm-hmm. you've heard this thing explained to you, I'm sure it blew you away. But also, like, you could comprehend what was happening, right?
Yes. So, and even asking people, I said, how often this happened? And someone said, I've lived here for 15 years, and I've never seen this before.
So I'm not poo-pooing the significance mm-hmm. of this, and I'm certainly not downplaying the work that went into or how important it is to learn about our universe. And it's also one of those, I mean, a lot of people are like this. When you look at those pictures, and you're like, yo, that's like 30 million of our planets or whatever the number is, right? There's a billion Earths in there. Then people are like, well, there's probably a plant growing on one of them at the very least, right? There's probably an amoeba somewhere in there. That's a whole different conversation.
Is that where Star Wars took place?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, galaxy far,
is
far away.
Is that Tatooine?
Yes.
Is that Tatooine? That's what I need to know. Is that Tatooine?
So I'm not saying I'm not impressed with the human accomplishment that is able to, again, 250 years ago, we weren't able to turn on lights or fly, and now we have sent things into space that can go distances and time away from us that my brain can't quite comprehend and take and capture images and send them back to us. But, like, just to see these pictures literally is too much for my brain to understand. And because of that, I'm not as impressed by them as I would be by something more simple or on this Earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And even when, like, they tried to compare the Hubble telescope, I remember hearing about this growing up in high school. Like, it was one of the things that you didn't even learn about the Hubble telescope that much. You just heard Hubble telescope jokes on Saturday Night Live or Letterman or whatever. So that's how you kind of knew it existed. And so now they're showing, they'll be like, here's what the Hubble telescope picture was of the galaxy, and here's the new James Webb picture. And, like, people are like, look at the amazing difference. And I was like, did they just put the Paris filter on it? Like, they, I mean, I can see that one's better than the other, but, like, it's just a little bit brighter and clearer. And, like, again, somebody would be like, that was $50 billion and 2,000 people working for 20 years to make that picture brighter. You better respect it. I'm like, I get it. Again, if you're invested in it, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be proud or that you didn't do impressive work. I'm truly saying my small brain is not quite big enough to comprehend what seeing the galaxy looks like. And because of that, I'm left slightly underwhelmed by these pictures. But the one thing that does impress me is the man, James Webb. And do you know why that is, Dennis Cox?
Why is that?
It's because he is a hashtag pack pro.
Okay.
That's right. James Webb, actually, he's not. James Webb's more I'm a Tar Heel. We have a tradition here of, does anybody still know the hashtag pack pro joke? It went back to when Jalen LeCue committed to NC State, then said he was going pro, and State still was labeling him a hashtag pack pro. So it was like, oh, just any connection we can make to State makes him a pack pro. But in this case, James Webb from Granville County, from a area listed as Tally Ho, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
You won't really find Tally Ho on record now on the map. It's sort of just like a township not far from STEM, North Carolina. Also very small, just a little bit north of like Butner and Creedmoor there in Granville County.
Okay.
He went to UNC, became Dean of Education, went into the Marine Corps Reserves, studied to become a lawyer just because it was like a smart thing to do. During World War II, he was down at Cherry Point in Havelock, North Carolina. So this guy's been all over the state. Shout out Craven County. Then after, he also just got interested in flying and learning about that stuff, even though he was the Dean of Education at UNC at one point after he graduated there. After Russia put Sputnik up, we were in almost like panic mode. Like, we've got to win the space race. He was appointed the head of NASA from 1961 to 1968. He took it from a fledgling organization to the force that it was. He resigned, he retired just before a little bit before the space launch in 69 that went to the moon. But, like, basically, he headed up NASA in the era where we went from watching Russia send a satellite up and being like, oh no, we got to catch up, to jumping in front of everybody and being the first people to land on the moon eventually in 1969. And in that time, in 1965, James Webb from Granville County, used to work at Cherry Point down there in Havelock, graduate of the University of North Carolina, he said, we need to develop a space telescope that can show us the universe. In 2002, that's how long it takes these things to develop. In 2002, they decided to name the next space telescope after him. They had the Hubble. They knew that was going to work for a while. These things take a little while to create them, launch them, let them get to where they need to get, where they can get these pictures of the galaxy. So in 2002, they decided to name the next telescope after him, and that's why we have proud North Carolinian James Webb Space Telescope, whose efforts I am impressed with and reflect the advancement of mankind, but whose pictures, unfortunately, I am too simple to be fully impressed with.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Twitter beef used to be a real thing, right? It was almost before. Twitter beef now is almost not worth it. There's too much media on Twitter. Everybody's there. If you beef, it's going to be, if you're a big enough person, if you're the Tom Brady of the world or whatever, and you get an actual beef with somebody, then it's going to launch 10,000 blog posts, some SportsCenter stories, like all, it's just not worth it. Back in the day, when there was only like a few athletes from each sport, because a lot of them were like, I don't have time for Twitter. There weren't that many media. Certainly, like, there were only media individuals, not like whole brands on Twitter. You might actually get, you know, Darren Revelle put a report out about, oh, so-and-so was looking for more money, and so they went to a new team. And that athlete might come on and be like, your report's crap. We weren't looking for more money. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, Revelle might be like, well, no, I talked to an agent that, you know, whatever. Like, you get, oh, Twitter beef, it's on, right? Now, more and more, it's just not worth it for the biggest people to get involved in Twitter beefs, right? Like, your brand is just going to get dragged down. It's not worth to opening yourself up to. So most people just keep it light, keep it breezy. Maybe you do a dunk on tweet that, you know, even that is a little bit like, I'm just trying to make a joke, but I'm not actually like, nothing personal or whatever. But not my man Lamar Jackson, who he's one of those dudes who I don't especially see him as like a beefing guy, but he seems like a very authentic guy. I don't think he's trying to act any certain way. I think he's just being Lamar Jackson. And this randomly started where Bernard Pollard Jr., former safety for the Ravens, and I don't even know if he works for an outlet. Is he a Baltimore sports radio guy? I don't know. But he tweets, no top wide receiver will ever come to Baltimore while Lamar Jackson is there. Plenty of wide receivers have been available in the offseason. LJ has been starting. Nobody wants to go. They give him the respect, but they don't want to play for him. He's good, but he's not able to make all the throws. Lamar Jackson responds, you've been capping since I've been playing for the Ravens. I've never heard of you, to be honest, my boy. You got Super Bowl because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed that year. Then Bernard replies, they're still both using crying emojis, like they're laughing, like, hey, this isn't real beef, like I'm kind of messing with you. Bernard says, facts are facts. Make sure you call me champ. Good luck getting one. Lamar doesn't really take that peace offering, says, never, nobody speak of you. I had to Google you, little bro. I never heard of you until I seen you keep dissing like you was a Hall of Famer, but you are far from it, like ocean, like across overseas, you far from it. Stop flagging. They never said you was feared. Go watch NASCAR, probably better at that. For your, anyway, I just appreciated Lamar Jackson not soft-pedaling anything, fully going into it. If you're going to Twitter beef, that's the way to Twitter beef. With the few minutes remaining.
Don't do it while Twitter's down.
That's right. I wonder if Twitter beef cut I wonder if Twitter being down cut the Twitter beef short. Did you post the video of me not showing up on time? Why are you going to do that? Why are you going to make me look bad?
Thought about maybe having a Twitter beef.
All right, fair enough. With the little time remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly, rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've wrong been button. Overrated. I think they've been underrated.
Sure, it was the wrong button for you to boo me. You made me look bad. Like, people are going to think that I just showed up for the show at like 12 o'clock and 30 seconds instead of being here, you know, taping interviews before the show and then just merely running out to my car and lingering a little too long in the lobby talking to Jesse before I got here for the show.
I mean, all your stuff was on the desk, so people could see that.
That's true. I had somebody text me, I need to bring back the oversized laptop. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, your desktop computer?
My large laptop computer, because somebody was watching the stream and they were like, I love it, Permar. All you got is your towel up there and some shades. They couldn't see that I've got actually two different screens that I'm working off of. Because when you don't have a laptop in front of you, it looks like you're not working. It's like, Permar, you're just winging it. Love it. And I'm like, no. I've got multiple screens here in front of me. I'm working it, okay? Mm-hmm. I need to bring back the extra large laptop so that people know that I've got notes in front of me. First up on Rightly Rated, Finland. Is Finland overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up, and there's no audio. Sorry, I put the tweet in there so you could see it. So I'm just going to have to describe this to you. Finland, somewhere in Finland, there's a baseball stadium where about 10 feet right of the first baseline, running parallel to the first baseline, there is a creek. I mean, a river. So there's a video going viral yesterday where a guy makes a diving play towards the foul ball, towards the foul ball line, the first base line, diving to go get a ball, and he just slides right through and into the river. But the amazing part about it is that it switches camera angle to a camera situated on the river that, like, you can't see the baseball field from that camera. So in my mind, the only reason to place that camera in that position is to catch people falling off the baseball field into the river.
Yep.
So you know it's a problem, much like we've got bridges and overpasses that are too low here in the Triangle area, one famously in Durham, the Greg Street Bridge.
Sure.
It starts with a G. It's like 10'8" or something. Then we've got the P Street Bridge in Raleigh. They catch trucks all the time. If you put a camera on there, you're merely trying to catch people getting crushed, not actually trying to help the problem. So same with this camera. I just found it hilarious. Like, people are continuing to film people falling into this creek instead of just putting up some netting or something that would prevent it. All that leads up to, is Finland overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
They gave us Sebastian Aho, underrated.
I knew you were going to go the Canes angle. That's the easy. They gave us not only Sebastian Aho, several other Canes. Antti Raanta.
Yeah.
There's another one. Jesperi Kotkaniemi. All Finns. All right. And finally on Rightly Rated, Ham. Is Ham overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because Ham's restaurant, the final one, closing down. I forget where the final one was, but I saw a picture of it. There used to be Ham's in, I know, Greensboro, Chapel Hill, Fayetteville, Boone, New Bern. Maybe Ham's was an institution. I guess maybe it was pre-Carolina Ale House, but it just had that vibe of like, I may not be getting the number one meal, but I know exactly what they're going to serve. They're going to serve beer, they're going to serve burgers, and the game's going to be on, right? Like, that was kind of Ham's. It was casual, good enough. Again, I mean, they had one on Franklin Street. Ham's, I said this on Twitter, I'm not doing the, oh my God, I can't believe Ham's is gone. How will we ever live? I'm not weeping necessarily for the loss of Ham's, but I tip my cap and I say, you had a nice run, Ham's. Is Ham overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
I think rightly rated.
Ham, maybe I'm saying slightly overrated because I recently had a death in the family and I live in the South. So everyone brought ham biscuits and ham. So I'm a little over ham, but overall it's probably rightly rated. Just currently I'm overrating it a little bit.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.